Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you before we get started here, and as the choir is coming down, how many of you know in one way or another that you have touched the life of Steve Wright? How many of you know Steve? Raise your hand. Now, look around you, and Steve has been around here for several months, a little over a year, and Steve has an interesting history, and he'd be happy to tell you his history, but one of the things that's going to happen this morning in second service, and I mentioned this here in this service because I think you will want to know, Steve prayed to receive Jesus as his Savior this week. Which is that's an amen. That's a great thing. Also, a week ago, Rose Shamali did the same thing. We will be actually having a baptismal service on Easter Sunday, so that's always that's my favorite time to do baptism. But I comment because I think it's important for all of you to realize that. How important it is when we reach into someone's life and touch them in many and varied ways. You know, we've helped Steve through our Deacons Fund. He is in a nice apartment today. For many months, he actually lived out of his vehicle. Life has changed for him. And life has changed for him because of this congregation. And I just want to, I want you to be thankful for that. And I want to praise the Lord for that as well as for little Rose. And that will be a very good Easter Sunday morning for me. I suppose it all started years ago and came disguised as a game show. But what started several years ago was called reality TV. Anybody ever remember? How many of you watch reality TV? We watch those shows, and actually, I would characterize the very first reality TV show was a show about, it was a game show, two newlyweds being asked questions that had the potential to knock their relationship out of the water even before it really had begun. Remember the old newlywed game? That was our first look into people's lives. And people will eat nearly anything, dangle from helicopters and perform stunts that would have them committed to a mental institution, all in the name of reality TV. One of my favorites is Survivor. You know, those people who are willing to be dropped off on an island someplace with little food and told that they have to outwit, outplay, and outlast 15 other contestants. And they'll shed 50 pounds, they'll lie, they'll cheat, they'll steal for a chance to win $1 million. But being on TV for those 16 episodes is most certainly one of the big draws to that show. I'm also been amazed at some of those shows that, by the way, somebody's getting ready to walk in here. Give him a round of applause when he walks in. Stand up and Steve, I told everybody you accepted Jesus this week. Yeah, well, you wait till invitation time and we'll make it official down here. But what a blessing it is to. By the way, that's what happens in heaven. When someone's soul is saved, we are told that all heaven applauds. They throw a party. So way to go. And so we just did what heaven did earlier this week. Okay, back to the message. You know, one of the reality TV shows that actually probably propelled Donald Trump to the White House, I was always amazed that smart, capable people were willing to experience degradation and belittlement from a man with the worst comb over in America. But they were, and that was to get a job where he could continue to do the same thing 24/7. But isn't reality TV amazing? Many of you might remember William Hung for his antics on American Idol. He became famous, and although not in a good way, for his terrible voice, his poor English, and even worse, his dance steps and his hand moves. And while he was pretty bad, he's not the worst American Idol has seen. And by the way, I think to myself, what goofball would ever put themselves up for ridicule by Simon Cowell? Hung became famous, but not because he was good, but because he was terrible. It was Andy Warhol, 30 years ago, that once stated that everyone has 15 minutes of fame. Hung had to audition for fame, and I want to remind you what it was. Take a look at this video. This is William Hung in, we think it'll happen, on American Idol. Isn't that amazing? He says, I've had no professional training. And he goes, oh, really? You know, and isn't it amazing, as I said, what people will do for a little bit of fame? Now, you might say, I don't want to be famous, or I'm not in the fast lane in regards to fame, but at one time or another, every one of us has worked hard to get noticed. At one time or another, every one of us has worked hard to get patted on the back or to get some kind of recognition, if not in worldly things, in spiritual things. We do want to be noticed for our commitment, our dedication, our spirituality. And we've all been there. You know, who of us didn't want to get the attention of our boss? Good attention, by the way. I've gotten some bad attention from bosses before. And while Jesus didn't search for it on Palm Sunday, he certainly got it. And also notice, because we know the story of Holy Week, that fame can be very fleeting. So let's turn to Matthew. And actually, I'm going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 from a modern paraphrase entitled The Message, because it says it in a way that I think we'll get the gist of it. Matthew chapter 6. Verses 1 through 7 from The Message. Be especially careful when you're trying to be good so that you don't make a performance out of it. It might be good theater, but the God who made you won't be applauding. When you do something for someone else, don't call attention to yourself. You've seen them in action, I'm sure. Play actors, I call them, treating prayer meeting and street corner alike as a stage, acting compassionate as long as someone is watching, playing to the crowd. They get applause, true, but that's not all they get. When you help someone out, don't think about how it looks. Just do it quietly and unobtrusively. That is the way your God, who conceived you in love, working behind the scenes, helps you out. And when you come before God, don't turn that into a theatrical production either. All these people making a regular show out of their prayers, hoping for stardom, do you think God sits in a box seat? Here's what I want you to do. Find a quiet, secluded place so you won't be tempted to role play before God. Just be there. As simply and honestly as you can manage, the focus will shift from you to God, and you will begin to sense His grace. Now hear what Solomon had to say about fame thousands of years ago from Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 11 through 14. He said, there is no remembrance of men of old, and even those who are yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. I, the teacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I devoted myself to study and to explore by wisdom all that is done under heaven. What a heavy burden God has laid on men. I have seen all the things that are done under the sun. All of them are meaningless and chasing after the wind. Now, what Solomon knows is that fame and recognition are fleeting. Nobody remembers those men of old, so seeking after fame and recognition ultimately, he says, is meaningless and chasing after the wind. No day perhaps illustrates that more than the morning of August the 5th, 1962. Now, you might not remember what happened on August the 5th, 1962, but when I tell you, You will shake your head like all those little dogs in the back window of the cars driving down the street. You see, because on that day, an American icon by the name of Marilyn Monroe was found dead of an apparent drug overdose at her Brentwood, California home. Some believe that the overdose was suicide. Some believe it was accidental. Others believe that it was conspiracy or murder. But regardless of what prompted her death, Monroe's death stands as a testament, in my mind, to the futility of fame. We all know she was born Norma Jean Mortensen on June the 1st, 1926, in a Los Angeles hospital. Her mother, Gladys, listed her father as unknown. Marilyn Monroe grew up bumped from back and forth from her mother, who spent much of Marilyn's years as a young person in a psychiatric hospital. So she bumped between her mother and her mother's close friends. She spent time in foster homes and even spent several years in an orphanage. And though her childhood wasn't easy, she longed for something better. She recalled later, as she and Jane Russell signed their names in cement in front of the Chinese, Grauman's Chinese Theater in Hollywood, she said this. Listen to what Marilyn Monroe said. She said, "I want to be a big star more than anything. It is something that is precious to me." Now, y'all know, become a big star, she was. And what began as a part-time modeling stint, shooting pinup posters for World War II, soon blossomed into a full-time modeling career, an eventual movie deal. She made over 30 pictures over the course of her short career and became an American icon, probably one of the most recognizable figures in the entire world, even today. And think about that. She died so long ago and is still known, but her life is a testament to what happens too often in Hollywood and in Indianapolis. A life spent in meaningless pursuit of fame will find itself, unfortunately, in a very difficult place. We know her life, tattered and torn by 3 divorces, countless affairs, drug addiction, and a career in major decline, ended tragically amidst empty bottles of pills in very unglamorous circumstances. And she was only 35 years old when she died. She had said of Hollywood's fame, listen to what she said about fame. She said, "Hollywood is a place where they'll pay $1,000 for a kiss and 50 cents for your soul." You hear that? That's fame. They'll pay $1,000 for a kiss and 50 cents for your soul. They all audition for fame, fast lane fame, but there is a type of fame that it's okay to pursue. I want you to know, I want each of you to pursue the kind of fame that we're going to talk about this morning, and it's okay to be famous in the eyes of God. That's how I want you to pursue fame. So if that's important, how do we become famous in the eyes of God? How does that happen? Well, to begin with, it starts with being a good friend and not an actor. In this world today, I am absolutely convinced that people are looking for those who are going to genuinely love and care for them. Luke tells the following story. One day as he was teaching, Pharisees and religious teachers were sitting around. They had come from nearly every village in Galilee and Judea, even as far away as Jerusalem, to be there. The healing power of God was on him. Some men arrived carrying a paralytic on a stretcher. They were looking for a way to get into the house and set him before Jesus. When they couldn't find a way in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof, removed some tiles, and let him down in the middle of everyone, right in front of Jesus. Man, they were even willing to get a trespassing charge. Yeah, you know, I'm glad there wasn't any stand your ground. That guy would have probably shot him off the roof. But here they loved him so much that they couldn't get in. They go up on the roof. They take the tiles down, let him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus is impressed by their bold belief, and he said, "Friend, I forgive your sins." And that set the religious scholars and Pharisees buzzing. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemous talk. God and only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew exactly what they were thinking and said, "Why all this gossipy whispering? Which is simpler, to say, 'I forgive your sins,' or to say, 'Get up and start walking'? Well, just so it's clear that I'm the Son of Man and authorized to do either or both," he now spoke directly to the paraplegic. "Get up, take your bedroll, and go home." Without a moment's hesitation, he did it, got up, took his blanket, and went home. Now, isn't that amazing? It's important for us, dear friends, to remember that we are called to be a good friend and not an actor. That means that we have to perhaps step out of our comfort zone and really get involved in somebody's life where it costs us something, and we do it not for any recognition, but because the other person is in need. You see, I believe, and I know, there are far too many people who are great actors and don't care enough about the needs of others. If we see someone in need, pick the person up, take them to Jesus. However you can get them there, whatever obstacles you need to fight through, get that person the help that is needed. If we are to be famous before God, we must first be a good friend and not an actor. Secondly, if you want to be famous before God, and I hope that you do, I want when I take my last breath, I want to hear my God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I want my Lord to say, "This is my son. I know this one." And you ought to too. And the second way that we can be famous in the eyes of God is to pray and don't play. Jesus said it, and I believe it. He said that when you go to pray, don't stand on the street corners trying to impress anyone, but get to a quiet place so it's just you and Him. Emotions impress people, but God can see right through to the heart. Have you ever seen anybody worshiping and just crying? Or seen someone so happy and wished you had that too? God sees through the emotion of man. And what happens when you and I begin to truly pray? Remember, I read it earlier in the message. Jesus said it. The focus begins to shift from us to God. Do you know why it's so hard to pray? Many people, I've been told by many, many church folks over the years that how difficult it is for them to pray. I think the reason that it's difficult is because we have a preconceived idea on what prayer is and how to do it. And here's the thing that all of us need to understand about prayer. Praying involves a conversation taking place between you and the Creator. And praying is not using big words and impressing yourself. Prayer is not impressing your pastor or your youth pastor. Prayer is not what we think it is. Jesus said, when you pray, pray simple. You know the prayer I pray the most? "Oh, dear Lord, help! Help. I'm a mess. God, I need your help. God, my heart is broken. I need your strength." Yeah, you know, because I have to pray publicly often, I can use all the words, but let me tell you, simple is always better. Pray, don't play. The third thing that we must do if we are to be famous in the eyes of God is this: live your life for an audience of one. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is this: who are you living for? Who are you living for? What are you living for? Many of you don't know because it's not been made public. It just happened yesterday afternoon. How many of you have been involved in one way with Bill Singleton in one form or another at Singleton Funeral Home? Raise your hand. Look around. How many of you know Bill Singleton, who he is? Bill Singleton passed away yesterday afternoon. And on Friday, when I happened to be in his room, when he got the message that he, at max, had 2 weeks to live, He was told that on Friday morning, and less than 24 hours later, he was gone. But I will not forget sitting beside his bed and looking at him and saying, "Bill, let me tell you a story that you'll never hear, but let me tell you a story that happened just downstairs." I walked up to the desk and I said, "Can you give me the room number of Bill Singleton?" And because he'd been moved a couple days before, and they gave me the room number. And the guy said, "Is that the funeral director?" I said, "Yes, it is." He said, "Does he still have that motorcycle?" I said, "Depends which one you're talking about. The two-wheeler or the three-wheeler? He doesn't have the two-wheeler anymore, but he has a three-wheeler." And then he looked at me and he says, "You know what? That man has been so good to me and my family. That man has touched my family in remarkable ways. That man is a good man." I told Bill that story and tears rolled down his face, and he says, "Man, I sure hope that that guy is right, that I'm a good man." You know, it's a wonderful thing about most good, really truly good people. They don't believe themselves to be good. And when I looked at him and said, "Bill, that's true, you're a good man. But what makes you a better man is that I know that you love Jesus. And all of the good that you've done that nobody ever knows, one day, sooner for you than you thought a few weeks ago, God's going to look at you and say, 'Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into thy rest.'" Bill then looked at me and said, "Well, you know, Pastor Jeff, all the good that I've ever done, it was only for one reason. Because as a young boy, I asked Jesus to save me, and he did. I asked for the chance to help people, and he gave it to me. And ultimately, I've ended up with far more than I could have ever imagined. But I did it because of what God has done for me." That's playing to an audience of one. Listen to the message once again in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus says, "Knowing the correct password, saying 'Master, Master,' for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What is required is serious obedience, doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment. Thousands strutting up to me and saying, 'Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you know what I am going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourself important. You don't impress me one bit. You're out of here.'" Dear friends, I'm convinced that we often have a profound effect on anyone with whom we come into contact with. We are truly significant more than we imagine. Some act that we deem totally insignificant can literally shape someone else's future. The right words at just the right time can totally change someone's life. And then whose life is really significant eternally? Ultimately, the audience of one is all that matters. Ultimately, the audience of one is all that matters. I want to tell you another sad story that I got yesterday as well. Been asked to do a funeral message tomorrow for an over-the-road trucker who loved AC/DC. Now, for those of you who don't know AC/DC, they are a hard rock group. They were the ones who sang the song "Highway to Hell." By the way, every person until they accept Jesus is on the highway to hell. Spoke to his wife, Valita, from Kentucky. Said, "Oh, I've got an aunt named Valita." She said, "Where is she from?" I said, "Well, originally she was born near Prestonsburg." And she goes, "Oh, that's where I'm from." I said, "Do they only name women Valita from Prestonsburg, Kentucky?" We began to talk about her husband, and she says, "You know, In the 40 years of our marriage, I never heard him utter a cuss word. And I told Valita, I wish my wife could say that. And then Valita said, and I never saw him in 40 years sit down to a meal and not pray. I wish my wife could say that. And then I asked, how is it that I got invited? He said, well, you were recommended by someone. He said, but you didn't have a church. And she said, no, we didn't have a church because about 30 years ago, my husband coming off the road one Sunday morning knew he had to be in church. Actually, the story was that he had nearly been in a really bad accident that morning, and instead of going home to get cleaned up from being on the road, he drove his truck into the parking lot of a church, walked in, dirty, unshaven, and was told by somebody he needed to go home, clean up, and then come back. The last time he was in church. How do you think that audience of one thing is going to play out? You see, ultimately the audience of one is all that matters. Here is a little simple test to determine if I'm living in the fast lane in regards to fame and recognition. I realize that most of us probably don't lay awake at night dreaming of careers in Hollywood. None of us are really interested in the glitz and the glamour. So what does this look like where we live? Here are some questions that you need to answer. How often do you worry over what others think of you? Have you ever told a little white lie in order to make yourself look better? Have you ever told a story with the details adjusted ever so slightly to portray yourself in a little better light? Have you ever gone to an event just to be seen? When you do something special for someone else, do you prefer for them to know it was you, or do you prefer to remain anonymous? Now, perhaps those questions can help frame this subject in a little and bring it a little bit closer to home. Consider this little exercise before we close. Does fame or significance matter most? Which matters most, fame or significance? Let me introduce you to three names. Francis Perkins. Anybody know Francis Perkins? Anybody know Andreas Grunzig? Here's one that you'll probably remember. How about Christian Barnard? All three of those individuals lived in the 20th century and all left an indelible impact, not only in their fields, but on the entire world. But do we know who they are? Frances Perkins' name may not be as familiar as Susan B. Anthony, but she was an incredible pioneer of women's rights issues in the first half of our century. At a time when many states in our country, where they were still 2 years from extending the right for women to vote, she was named Secretary of State of New York by then-Governor Franklin D. Roosevelt. She could not vote, but she was named Secretary of the State of New York. A little later, she was appointed to a national office to be secretary when Roosevelt assumed the presidency. And that was unheard of in the 20s and 30s. You never heard about her. But you know what? She probably did more for women's rights than Susan B. Anthony. And she got a coin that nobody uses. What about Andreas Grunzig? I suspect few of you know who he is, yet his work has directly impacted the lives of many of you. Many of you are still here today because of him. He pioneered and tested and performed the very first human angioplasty procedure in the 70s. Anybody had an angioplasty done? There are several of you out there. In a day when it became more and more commonplace, it's hard to realize that before 1974, the procedure was not only considered risky, but extremely dangerous. If you had angioplasty when he pioneered it, you know how long you stayed in the hospital? 10 days. You get an angioplasty done today, you know how long you stay in the hospital? Not quite 10 hours. Christian Barnard, in In 1967, he performed the world's first heart transplant. But fame is a fleeting thing. Every one of these people in their day was famous. They were people who left indelible marks on our world. But significance, that is the horse of a different color and never finds itself in the fast lane. Dear friends, my question once again to you is, are you playing to an audience of one? Ultimately, we know because Jesus was playing to an audience of one, he ended up on a cross and then looked down through history at every one of you and I because he died for each one of us. Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do. Be a good friend, not an actor. Pray, don't play. Live life for an audience of one. And I can guarantee you this, it will bring great fame to our Savior. He will rejoice. All heaven will cheer. That's the Palm Sunday I want to see. How about you? Let's bow together in prayer. Father God, I thank you that you desire us to have an audience of one and that you've told us that we should do our alms, that we should do our praying, that we should do our work in front of you and not for the recognition of others. Father, please forgive me for all the times that I have done just that, and I have. Please forgive me, O God, for the times when I was not all that I should be, could be, ought to be. But I do thank you, O God, that I'm not who I once was. Lord, in this time of invitation, if there is someone here who wants to make it official and say, I want to be baptized, I want to ask Jesus into my heart, or I have asked Jesus into my heart, give that person or persons the strength to walk this aisle. Father God, I would pray that if there's someone here who says, I need a church home and I officially want to make this my church home, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the strength to walk this aisle. If there is someone here today, Lord, that might want to humble themselves and pray, seek your face, and desire to play to an audience of one, I pray, Lord, that you would give them the strength to walk the aisle if that's necessary, but the strength also to pray it quietly alone before you in their seat. Father God, this is my prayer, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.